Welcome to Cougar Chat Radio. Tonight we're talking strip club stories. Feel free to call us during the show with your stories at 661-244-9818 or chat with us in the Blog Talk or CougarChatRadio.com chat rooms. Find Cougar Chat on Twitter at Cougar Chat Radio and on Facebook. If you're a musician and want to feature your music, or if you're a sponsor and you want to sponsor the show, email us at info@CougarChatRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Larry. This is my brother Daryl, and this is my other brother Daryl. And you're listening to Cougar Chat Radio.
Hi, this is Bobby Campo from Grey's Anatomy and Being Human. You are listening to Cougar Chat Radio.
What do you want to do? Just like you're listening to...
Hi, I'm Ty Olson. You're listening to Cougar Chat Radio.
Hello, Cougars. This is Sebastian Roche from Supernatural, and I listen to Cougar Chat Radio.
Okay, that was fierce.
Hello, everyone. This is Iron E. Singleton of The Walking Dead. I play T-Dog, and you are here with the Cougar Chat Radio.
Hello, this is Jason Gates from Haunted Collector, and you're watching Cougar Chat Radio.
If you like your ladies wild and feisty, you have come to the right place. I'm Jodi Ambrose, author of Sex, How to Get More of It, and Intimacy, How to Get More of It, and there's nothing I'd rather do on a Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern than tune in to the amazing ladies of Cougar Chat Radio. Enjoy the show!
Hello, hello, hello. We are live. I'm Jen. We have Andrea, Michelle, Mary, and Callie. Welcome to Cougar Chat Radio. How is everyone?
Hey, doing good over here, PA.
Good.
How's everybody else?
Good up here in Canada.
I'm here in Florida.
Well, shut up.
She's the warmest one of us all.
I'm telling you.
Oh, that damn polar vortex. Damn global warming.
Hey, soon enough it will be spring.
This is true.
Yeah,
sure. I'll be bitching about the heat before we know it, because I hate heat.
Exactly. Although here in PA, we're supposed to get like 5 to 7 inches of snow.
Very nice. Very nice.
I know, right?
Well, my daughter has exams again tomorrow, so I'm hoping that they don't, if they delay school, it's going to push back exams to another day, and she's like, please don't let that happen. So this is the first time I've ever heard her say, please don't snow.
Wow.
Because if we have one drop of snow, they will close schools for like,
right.
for a week. It's crazy.
Right.
Pussies. All of you.
Exactly. What I'm saying. So, hey, tonight, strip club stories. We have a lot to talk about. We all have stories. We've had guests call in, or we've had listeners call in and email in stories and Facebook stories. If you have stories, call in 661-244-9818. We do ask that you keep it brief, but we would love to hear from you. And we do, at half past the hour, we do have a guest calling in, Chastity Star. We look forward to talking to her. So.
Yeah.
All right, Michelle, we have been, one of my friends, Mark, of course, is an ex-stripper, and I think he had some funny things to share. Let's hear what he has to say.
Okay. Yeah, I got to know him a little bit yesterday talking to him.
Uh-huh.
So he seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah.
All right, so this is a story that he was giving us from Houston. Mm-hmm. He met a lady where he did a show, and she ended up going back to the apartment with him. Mm-hmm. As she was leaving, they began to talk, and basically she wanted to be his sugar mama. But, yeah, right. But I had to be exclusive with her only, and, well, that wasn't going to happen, he says. To entice me, she wanted to fly him with her to Kentucky for the Derby. Turns out she owned racehorses mm-hmm. and was best friends with a famous actor's wife. Mm-hmm. Now, he says, which actor? The one and only Mr. Roadhouse himself, Patrick Swayze.
Wow.
So he actually did think about it for a minute just so he could meet Patrick,
mm-hmm.
but then he thought better of it and went on his way. So.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So that's like a perk of being a stripper, I think.
Yeah, that was a perk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when Chastity comes on, I have lots of questions for her, you know, like how'd you get in the business, that kind of thing, and I'm very interested to hear about strip clubs in general. So...
What do you mean, like the politics?
No, like, how does one say they're going to, you know, how does one become one? are drugs rampant? You know, all the stereotypes you hear.
Yeah.
Are most of the dancers, are they bisexual? That kind of thing. So.
I gotcha.
Yeah. And I want to know if they would rather dance with women or men.
Hmm. Well, I was at a strip club within the last year with a friend, and the way I saw it was they really wanted to dance for me, the woman. And, oh, it was the most uncomfortable thing on the face of the earth. Having little girls bouncing on your knee and rubbing their boobs against your face, like, oh, my God. I got a lap dance spot for me at the table, and I couldn't run out of there fast enough by the end of it.
Chicken.
I know. Well, not a chicken. I was just out of, I was like a fish out of water.
That happened to me. I had a girlfriend buy me a lap dance once. I mean, private dance, excuse me. I was escorted, and you've heard this story, but for those of you who haven't, I was escorted to the back private room with all the couches and where they take all the guys and was given a lap dance. Yeah, she was all up in my face, and it was very uncomfortable. So, yeah, I'm with you, Andrea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't do boobs. It's penis. Hello?
Thanks for that, Michelle.
Well, I'm very young. I think I was about 24, so we took a girl to a male strip club for her college graduation. And just our luck, the one stripper that hung out at our table had to be, at that time, maybe in his 40s, like death throes, hanging on to stripping for dear life. And I was at the edge of the table. I literally had to say, if I give you $5, will you go away?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I should have thought of that, damn it.
But he'd have been like, no, give me 10, I'll go away. Now, I know for a fact that 40-year-olds and older can be hot. You know, we know the Chippendales, and I've been up close and personal with several of them, and one of them, one of my favorite, is Nathan. Favorites is Nathan, and he's in his 40s, and he is smoking still.
That would have been nice. I would have taken that. We're talking, this is like early 2000s, and he comes out in fringes from head to toe and does pour some sugar on me.
Oh. Fringes?
Fringes. White fringes.
Hey,
from
dude,
head to toe.
The village people called. They want their fringes back.
Exactly. Where the rest of them were actually like college age guys, and they had their really modern routines and, uh-huh. and outfits and stuff. Yeah, he stuck out like a sore thumb.
Oh, God. Hang it up, guy.
You don't hear that either, where it's like, you know, that woman was 40 years old and she looked so great up naked on the stripper's pole, you know?
Oh, and that's something else I wanted to talk about, strippers on poles. I mean, is that something that you have to do or have to know, or is that something, is it an extremely hard skill to learn? Anybody?
It looks hard. It looks really hard.
It looks really hard. It looks like really, really great exercise.
I'm sure it's excellent exercise, and I'm sure nowadays you probably have to be able to do it, but I don't know.
This is Mary. My ex-sister-in-law does it. She teaches the classes.
Mm-hmm.
She's not a stripper. She goes to the classes like the aerobic classic you can go to now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she has four
day,
kids.
Right?
Yes. And like 1 month after her fourth kid, she looked like she never had kids in her life.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
I looked into it for myself. Well, the classes around here, I know the price varies wherever you go, but the classes here are $300 a month.
Wow. I'll buy a video.
Right?
Exactly. I'm wondering if those are real stripping poles.
The 5 minute a day pole class. Yeah, that's all me.
Yeah.
Hey, Callie, you're being awfully quiet. Do you have any stories to share?
I've never been to a strip club in my life.
Yes, you have. You've been with me.
Busted.
But we didn't see any strippers. We were in Ohio for an event, and she and I were like, hey, let's go in here. And there were no strippers. We remember the bar. We remember the big table, you know, all the tables, the big room with the tables, but no strippers. I don't know.
How's that even actually
possible? Yeah, what was up with that?
I don't know.
It was pretty strange. And the funny thing is, neither of us even realized that there were no strippers until we had left the place. I mean, we didn't walk in and say, hey, where's the strippers? We sat at the bar, we had some drinks, we were good. And then, I don't know, a few weeks later, it was like, you know, remember when we went to that strip club? Were there strippers there? I don't think so.
weird.
Like the lingering smell
to the
of booze and vagina.
Right, right.
Oh. Didn't give it away.
I've never been
I
to
actually,
the traditional. Kelly?
Go ahead, Kelly.
I have actually been to strip clubs where there are strippers, however, both the male and the female variety. And, you know, honestly, I'm not really that crazy about the male stripper thing. It doesn't really do it for me. I don't know why. It's just, I don't know. But I went to one of the raunchiest strip clubs there is in Las Vegas with a bunch of cowboys during National Finals Rodeo time at one point. And, like Adrian was saying, the strippers really are interested in the women. And
mm-hmm.
so that, I think that's a good question for our guest when she comes on.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because they're interested in the women? Is it because they think they'll get more tips from the women? You know,
mm-hmm.
why are they more interested? Or is it just the novelty?
Or is it because they're not going to be as taught on? I don't know. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, so
we're going to ask those questions. And for right now, we do have a caller. Welcome to Cougar Chat Radio. Who's this?
Yeah, hi. This is Joshua P. Warren. How's it going, ladies?
Hey, Josh. Good. How are you?
Hey, Joshua.
I'm doing very well. I've been on your show before as a paranormal investigator, and yes, believe it or not, I have a scary stripper story.
Yes, we'd love to hear it.
Yes.
Well,
give it
you know,
to us. Give
people
it to
ask
us.
Me all the time about, like, what's the scariest experience that you've ever had. And I've got to tell you, I had one experience at a strip club that was pretty frightening.
And it wasn't
me,
paranormal, I'm guessing.
It depends on your definition of paranormal.
Okay.
You know, to me, it's already kind of, like, dark and eerie when you go into a strip club because it's like the moment that you walk in, you know all these ladies are looking at you and the gears are turning and they're thinking, like, how can I turn this guy upside down and shake every penny out of his pocket? So it's already kind of weird, right?
Right.
Well, I was given the task of arranging a bachelor party for a friend of mine many years ago. I was not very comfortable being in that position, but I wanted it to be something kind of weird and unique, so I started doing some research and found this strip club in the backwoods of Tennessee in the mountains.
Oh, dear.
Called Fuzzy Holes. Yeah, Fuzzy Holes. So
why
I was sold
why does the term
on the name.
Bigfoot stripper come to mind?
I should have thought this through more deeply, but I was like, oh, hey, this is, you know, This will be a fun story to say, oh, I had my bachelor party at Fuzzy Holes. So I called up the club in advance just to make sure they were going to be open. And I said, yeah, I'm bringing, you know, a little group of guys. If you want a bachelor party, they're like, yeah, we'll be open. Come on. So my group of guys, there was about seven of us. We walk into this, I mean, I'm talking dingy little place. I don't even know if they're still there. They probably are and still open, and somebody's probably going to send an assassin to kill me now. But nonetheless, we go into the strip club, and we realize we were the only people there. And there were about 15, maybe even 20 strippers, and they all looked like they'd been having a really bad day. And so we sat down and just we're going to have some beers and just kind of relax. And, you know, we weren't there to just immediately be launched upon. And all of a sudden, I mean, all these strippers just surrounded us. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
But these, okay, where they're all vampires, you know?
Right.
These strippers surrounded us. And this one, we'll call it the lead cougar, came up and says, no, you're not going to sit here and drink beer. We're here to make money, and, you know, we better start working right now. And at first I thought she was joking, but I realized very quickly she was not. And this
She's
whole
like a,
environment
they're like
shifted
Nazi strippers.
Yes, exactly. Nazi strippers. Yeah, maybe even, you know, werewolf, vampire, Nazi strippers. How's that for the next Quentin Tarantino B-movie, right?
Yep.
So we actually became so intimidated and frightened by these women that I'm just like, okay, you know. So I took out my wallet, and, you know, I start handing out money, and they were just taking full advantage of grabbing us, throwing us around, abusing us. It was awful. It was horrible.
Good Lord.
So we're all looking at each other like, how do we make an escape? You know, how do we get the hell out of here? And there was this one big, like, boss hog guy in the background. I'm pretty sure he must have had, like, a shotgun under the desk. So we were keeping our eye on him. But as soon as we had an opportunity, we literally fled. We ran for our lives and got out of there. And I would say after that experience, you know, I've seen a lot of weird stuff, but that was one of the creepiest, spookiest experiences. And ever since then, I've decided maybe strip clubs are not for me.
You might get a Nazi. Beware of Nazi strippers, everybody.
Let me guess when you went to when you looked in the rearview mirror,
you
it was no longer
there. Their domain,
yes.
And you're at their mercy, so...
Right. Well, funny. Well, Joshua, thank you. It's good to hear from you.
You're very welcome, and now you know one of the spooky stories that's happened to me that most people don't get to hear about. So I look forward to hearing what other experiences come in on the show tonight.
Absolutely. Well, did you want to hang on and listen, or do you want me to let you go?
Oh, no, I'll listen off the air.
Okay. Well, very good. You take care, dear.
Bye, Joshua.
Thanks.
You're doing a great job, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And we do have another caller. One moment. Welcome to the show.
Hey, hello.
Hello. How are you? Who is this?
I'm fine. Look, my name's Bobby Gordon. You know, back in the 70s, by the way, early 60s, my bad. And I was at a strip club, okay? And, you know, you would see something that, you know, I saw something I never thought I would see. And, there was a black man that came into the strip club, and he was such a womanizer. Like, he treated these women like trash, and I didn't really appreciate it. And you wouldn't believe who this man was.
Uh-oh. Probably would.
His name was Martin Luther King. And he was a womanizer and a drug user. It's a true story.
Interesting.
He treated these women like trash.
Huh.
You know, they say he's supposed to be such a role model. He really is not.
Interesting. Well, Bobby, thank you for calling. You have a good night, okay?
Yeah, all right.
All right, take care. All right, we apologize for that.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So kind.
I think we had another story from Mark, right?
Oh. Well, the one he sent me was more of how he got started in the business.
Okay. Yeah, how do you? That's interesting to me.
Well, it's pretty long, so let me try and skip through here. He actually started out in a tournament for the best chest contest, which was being held, he doesn't say where it was at, but he had won. He ended up winning, so he was on ESP magazine cover. The guy who got second asked him to do some shows with the group he worked for. Having had quite a many beers, Mark had said, oh, hell yes. So he was to meet the guy the next day to work out everything and plan to tell him that after having worn off the tequila and the beers, that he was probably making a decision. He was getting ahead of himself, so to speak.
Gotcha. Okay.
But the guy was really convincing, mm-hmm. So he talked him into doing it. So he says, this is where it gets interesting and extremely funny turn. It was not the smooth, exciting, fun time I had envisioned. I had obviously never worn a thong, so I had to go buy some.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. He went to a place called Night Dreams, which is now called Adam and Eve.
Right.
I think we all know Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say that back then the men's department was lacking in the selection department,
right.
So we had to settle for a hot pink one.
Oh, God.
That was all they had, and left without trying it on.
Well, that's bad.
So later that night, he went to where they were doing the show. It was in High Point, which
is in North Carolina.
Oh, is it?
That's North Carolina, yeah.
To loosen him up, found out, he thought it was just loosen him up. He later found out that it was kind of like an initiation that they got him loose.
Mm-hmm.
With about 10 shots of tequila. So when it was his turn to go up, he put his hot pig thongs on and proceeded to club dance to the songs, and just go around and grind a lot. Needless to say, he had no clue what the hell he was doing. One of the other guys' girlfriends motioned him to come over, and he danced all over her table like a pro, or so he thought he was, only to have her whisper in his ear, "Your junk is hanging out of your thong."
Oh, Jesus.
So he rearranged and ran back to the dressing room, and he actually stayed back there until the end.
I would, too. I totally would, too.
Now, there was a little bit more, like towards the end of the night. I'm just going to ad-lib the rest. Towards the end of the night, these guys came in. Well, apparently these guys were the boyfriends of the women that were in there. So, needless to say, they wanted to be kicking some ass. So they wanted to fight these guys. And so Mark and another guy, man, they hop-skittled back out the back door and just went. So,
wow.
But that's how he got going into dancing. Ended up going on the road with Men of Texas.
Okay. Well, now he does CrossFit. He is an avid CrossFitter. So I believe we have another caller. Hang on just a second. Welcome to the show. Who is this?
This is Marshall.
Hi, Marshall. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm a bit of a strip club aficionado. So
fabulous.
I'm not going to try to dispel any of the myths that you've discussed, because I'm hoping that your next guest will do that.
Right.
But I do have an interesting story,
sure.
A cautionary tale. It seems that for some reason, certain type of women, when they go to a strip club, they want to dance and try to dance as if, or dress as if they're impressing the other girls that are there. Sometimes they dress to the point where they almost look like they're a stripper.
Uh-oh.
So I'm hanging at this one strip club in downtown Boston, and I'm there with my friends. A lot of my friends are in the business, and we're sitting at a table, and they kind of poke me, and they say, "Marshall, you should go over there and ask her for a dance." She was there with her boyfriend, and as soon as he got up and went to the bathroom, I walked over, and I said, "You're a very attractive woman. Would you like to dance for me?" And she looked horrified. And I said, "You work here, right?" She didn't say anything. And paused for a second and then said, "No." And I looked at her like, but I'll pay you. I've got money. And she once again got horrified. I walked away thinking, okay, well, obviously she doesn't want to dance with me. And I go back to my friends, and her boyfriend comes out of the bathroom, sits down, and she grabs his arm, and they immediately leave the club at that moment. Yes.
Wow.
It was cool for us to do that, but it was a bit of a laugh on our side.
Wow.
I think that kind of must have felt like telling a woman or that she looks great even though she's pregnant or something when she's really not, you know?
Well, no, she was very attractive. It's just that she probably should, you should not go to a female strip club dressed as a female stripper unless you plan on working there or auditioning. That's just the point.
Another public service announcement tonight.
Note to self, do not dress as a stripper. So remember,
don't have to worry about that with me. But Marshall, thank you so much. Hey, everyone, Marshall is my Twitter buddy. So,
hi, Marshall.
Hello.
He's one of the few funny ones, actual funny people on Twitter.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys might need a call screener at some point, too. So that left guy was a little obnoxious.
Thank you. Yeah, Ricky Bobby.
But, oh, well.
I was afraid you were
I imagine
those
things happen.
I apologize
for
him.
Oh, please. No
All
need
right,
to.
Well, Marshall, I believe our guest is holding. So we're going to let you go and continue to listen to the show. We would love to have you continue to listen. And I will talk to you soon. And thank you for your story.
Not a problem. Goodbye.
All right.
Thanks, Marshall.
Miss Chastity, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you. How's it going?
Great. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. Well, we loaded you up with some questions today, girlfriend, and we are very, very anxious to hear all about the business and some of your crazy stories and, you know, girls meet Chastity. We've got Mary, Andrea, Michelle, myself, Jen, and Callie is with us.
Hey, girls.
Hi, Chastity.
Hi. So, yeah, Chastity, how did you get started?
Well, for me, it's something that I always knew I wanted to do. I actually knew when I was about 7 years old. I know that sounds probably crazy, but I used to actually dance to Olivia Newton-John, Let's Get Physical with my leg warmers and leotard and pull it up like a thong and do routines.
Awesome.
I don't know. I guess I figured out from a young age that women gain power through sexuality, and I wanted to be the sexiest woman in the world. They're the most powerful. I don't know where I got these ideas. I must have seen it on TV or something. Nothing traumatic happened. I was not molested. I did not have daddy issues. Right. It just felt natural for me.
Cool. Good deal. And how long did you do it?
I danced for 15 years.
Okay, great.
I just retired in July.
Oh, okay. Did you have a workout routine in addition to dancing, or was dancing enough?
Occasionally, I would, but definitely you're getting a workout, particularly in the, like, no-contact clubs on the main floor. You're in stilettos, and you're gyrating, you know, your thighs, and you're not supposed to touch or do friction dancing in the crotch area. So to try to hover and gyrate, your thighs are burning.
Oh.
It's killing you when you're getting on stage. You're exerting yourself, climbing the pole, doing acrobatic pole work is definitely exercise. But we do have a lot of downtime, so it's, you know, I did, once my metabolism changed after the age of 24, I put on a little bit of weight, and my boss suspended me for getting too fat. I was all of 115 pounds at 5'2".
Jesus.
And that was unacceptable. So he gave a huge talk to the dressing room. He said, you're all like disposable razors. You're replaceable. There's three more just like you waiting around the corner to get your job. If you want to work for my club, you must be in the best shape of your life. And I threw away the pizza, grabbed an apple, and got a trainer. So I definitely had to maintain a workout routine as well.
Wow, wow.
Chastity, can I ask, this is Michelle, where were you working at, East Coast, West Coast?
All over. I started out in San Francisco, and I've worked in Paris, France, Vegas, New Mexico, Illinois, Daytona, New York, all over the place.
Because I know some of the strippers whereabouts where I live at. I don't understand why, who the hell would pay to even look at them. I mean, they're like 250 pounds. They might be 6 foot tall, but they're 250 pounds, and the face is dragging on the ground, you know?
And the boobs, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, definitely different places have different standards. So in the top gentlemen's clubs in New York, you're going to have stricter standards, whereas if you're, you know, out, you know, Midwest, so I don't know where you're located, but it's different. And also other people, I mean, yes, when I worked in San Francisco, I started out at a peep show. and I was behind glass, and these women are very, you know, liberal. These were hairy armpits, you know, not the perfect size two. There was, you know, a different idea of what sexy is for women. So, and, you know, so it's all a matter of taste. But, I understand that we have an idea of, you know, what's supposed to be in the magazines and the billboards. I get that, too.
Well, I'm in Pennsylvania, you know, so I've never been to a strip club, but I knew a couple of women who have done it, is doing it, and I just, like, dumbfounded, like, what the fuck?
This is Andrea, and I have a quick question, because you said that you worked in Paris, France, and I was actually looking at going back over there for a bit. I was there a couple years ago, and I know that they're very liberal, talk about liberal, as far as sexuality goes and the things they sell in their little stores in the Pigalle district. I was wondering how you found it to differ from North America. Is it more liberal?
Well, from what I understood, prostitution was illegal there, and we weren't allowed to stand outside in our work uniform and smoke a cigarette because they didn't want us to get, you know, they didn't want people to have the wrong idea. And actually, we had to stand like 6 feet away from the customer while giving dances. We had way more rules than we would have in New York. It's crazy like that. And it was really difficult in Paris. Now, I was flown out there. I was working at a club in San Francisco, and they flew me there, paid for the trip, the whole thing. We were only allowed to accept euros, and they were held by the waitresses. So we had to flag down the waitresses to get what they called a dance ticket, and there's a language barrier. So as you're sitting there trying to communicate with the customer and flag down a waitress, you know, sometimes it's hard to even get a drink at a bar flagging down a waitress. Mm-hmm. It was like pulling teeth in there to make money. It was so hard. And then also if they wanted an American girl, they're thinking, you know, you have to be blonde, there's a certain look. So I happen to be a petite brunette that does not speak French. It was a really rough run, but a free trip to Paris. And I got to go to Amsterdam on my days off, so it was cool.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi? That's all you need to know, isn't it?
Pretty much. I just kept saying encore, encore, dance, encore. But I had people try to burn me with cigarettes. They shoved credit cards down my dress, chased me downstairs. There was like, they expected us to jump from one pole, and then it was like 20 feet up into like another pole in the middle to slide down for our second set. And one of the girls fell the whole way down. And landed right, luckily she like missed her tailbone. She landed right on her booty. The ambulance came. She was fine, but they don't have lawsuits over there. It was rough. There was no railings on the spiral staircases, and people tended to be, unfortunately, very rude.
Now,
I prefer
dancing.
Yes.
Yeah. You mentioned pole dancing, and how does one decide, hey, I'm going to do pole dancing? I mean, how do you prepare for that? Because it is hard.
It is absolutely hard, and I started out in the peep show, so I was like fully nude behind glass, and there's guys masturbating on the other side. So it didn't matter if I fell, because they were still entertained. I was naked, and they were busy, you know, so I got the opportunity to practice in the environment, you know, and it didn't matter. But, you know, I built strength. I gained muscles. I just watched other girls that knew what they were doing. And, you know, eventually, once you get the feel of what a trick's supposed to feel like, you can start to master it. However, that being said, now 15 years experience, and I do, like, really acrobatic stuff. I went in to get certified to teach pole dancing classes, and I didn't pass.
Oh, wow.
It was so crazy because the way they do it, first of all, they wanted me to do it barefoot. The poles, I couldn't stick to them. They were like this, not brass, like still, and it was just out of hand. Like, I don't know, I can't. The way I'm used to loosening up is a shot of tequila. I was not, like, they said I basically had to relearn everything. They said I was at a disadvantage with all the experience I had.
Right. What, Michelle?
Tequila must be the thing to loosen everybody up when they are doing dancing.
Tequila's nasty.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've had one shot, and I didn't even have to do it right. It was, it has to be in a margarita for me.
Gin, tequila, champagne, whatever, but it sure the hell wasn't stretching the way these women were doing it at Crunch.
Now, do you like, you know, you heard us talk a little bit about, Andrea and I both had experiences with personal lap dances. Do you like dancing for men or women better, and why?
I tend to prefer dancing for men, just because with women, sometimes they feel more entitled. And they can, well, one of two things can happen. They can either, like, feel completely uncomfortable and like a fish out of water, and you feel like you're almost like molesting the person or forcing them through it. Or they get real loosey-goosey, and they're, like, falling all over the floor, and they're, like, too into it, and they feel like, you know, they can go ahead and grab the kitty because they got one, too. They get, like, men tend to fear us and have more boundaries and let us, you know, be in charge. But the women, I've had, you know, I had one lady one time, her husband was nearly passed out at the stage. She took his credit card and took me into the champagne room for an hour, wrestled me down, and tried to rip my underwear off of me. And I'm like, oh, my God, this G-string matching outfit, it was custom-made. I'm like, they discontinued this pattern. You cannot rip my underwear off. It was the most aggressive champagne room I've ever had, and it happened to be from a female. Now, that being said, I did have a lot of regular clientele and, I guess, a little bit of a fan base, and I had this lesbian couple that were so loyal to me and so respectful and so sweet. They're actually dominatrix, but I thought it was really cool that they came in to kind of relax and be the recipient, and they were constantly loyal and respectful, so it all depends.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, what's the biggest tip you ever received?
I would say probably like around $1,000.
Oh, wow. From one person? Like just here?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm in the wrong business.
Yes, you are, Michelle.
Well, I know.
Shit, I'm
a lot
lucky
of people
to get $5, what I do.
Yeah, a lot of people will say, but you know what? The thing is the money is never consistent. And
right.
I'm sure some of you girls know that, you know, they charge stage fees. So. It's never, you never know. It's like gambling.
Oh, no, I didn't
you
know
could
that.
Break even, you could go negative,
yeah.
You can go positive.
Mm-hmm.
That's one assumption I always hear, is you must make a lot of money while you're always playing catch-up.
Gotcha. Mary, did you have a question? Oh, I was going to say, I didn't know, actually, that was one of my questions was, I'm sure it can vary from one place to another, but what is the, I guess you would call it, the market standard for making money? Are you paying a fee? Are you getting a commission? How does that work?
No, never a commission. It's basically you're paying a house fee, which is anywhere from, like, depending on the club and depending on what time you show up, it's usually between $60 and $180. And then on top of that, you're usually responsible for tipping your DJ and your hair people, your makeup people, someone who's called a house mom who kind of watches over the dressing room, and then sometimes you're breaking off host and security as well. So once you've got all that squared away, you're almost $300 in the hole, and then anything you make after that is yours.
Oh, okay.
And they take a percent off the credit card money, which is called funny money. They usually take sometimes 10, 13%, depending on the place. So, it's tough. It's tough to make money. You really have to. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Have you ever received anything other than money, and are you allowed to receive gifts?
Yeah. I've definitely got the normal things like, you know, flowers, perfume, jewelry, stuff like that. I think one of the funniest gifts I got was a tampon case. I don't know why the guy decided to bring me this tampon case, but it was it had a picture of this, like, bloody cartoon character, Vinny's bloody tampon case. It said, "I break for cycles." He was in a race car. And I kept, I kept it in my locker with tampons and scissors. You know, we have to cut the string when it's that time of the month. And sometimes you go home intoxicated, maybe have sex with a boyfriend, forget that you didn't take it out, end up in the ER, have to have it removed, or you're doing pull tricks and it gets lodged. And I've definitely had a few trips to the ER, and the nurse can't reach it. One time she goes, wow, you know, why do you cut the string? I don't get it. Are you a swimmer? I said, you caught me. I'm a swimmer.
Yep, I'm a swimmer. See this rockin' bod? It's all about the pool. Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, what was the, you've had some crazy experiences for sure. What's the biggest thing that stands out to you? The craziest thing that ever happened to you?
I would say one night, it was probably in the middle of my career, this is out in New York, I was dancing for this guy, and I saw this older gentleman, probably in his 70s, sitting with a woman that didn't work at the club, this hot little blonde thing, and I'm giving a dance, and he walks up to me mid-dance and whispers in my ear, I bet you're kinky, and come talk to me when you finish. And I'm like, okay. So, of course, this ups the commodity for me. The guy wants to keep me there dancing. I'm going to make money elsewhere, but I stay. I finish the dances. I walk over to him. He says, I want to do a room with you. Grab a friend. So I grab this new girl, little Filipino chick. I think her name was Fiona. I don't know. This is years ago. So I get little Fiona, and I look behind me, and there's a whole entourage of people coming into the champagne room. And so I see that the blonde chick that he had, this other girl with black hair and this, like, muscular, like, Latin guy. So we all get in. He pays us $800 for an hour, lays out, like, this huge plate of cocaine and opens up a bottle of champagne. He strips down, and he's wearing this, like, full lace unitard bodysuit, crotchless, with all his man jumps, like, hanging out of it, right? And it turns out that the blonde chick is a hired escort, and the girl with the jet black hair is a dominatrix, and the guy is this Latin male gigolo. So we're all in there. And, you know, they're getting down to their skivvies, and I'm kind of standing up in between the two gentlemen, and I'm like, so I still have a G-string on. I'm topless. I'm dancing. I'm just getting everything sort of started, rubbing nipples, laughing, you know, and I'm kind of teeter-tottering in between these guys, and they're at, like, half salute. So Fiona, the little Filipino chick, she's brand new, she comes over, and she starts pecking at the old guy's cock, and she's like, you're not supposed to have your cock out. You're not supposed to have your cock out. And we're dying laughing because she's not making the situation shrink at all. You know, and she's like, just it's like a chicken pecking at me. You're not supposed to have your cock out. Next thing I know, the dominatrix, like, grabs her, puts her over in a corner, starts wailing on her ass. The old man in the unitard, like, sits down. The blonde girl starts riding him. And then I'm with this, like, male gigolo, and he's massaging my feet and, like, pouring champagne for me and whispering, like, these Spanish poetry into my ear and telling me he wants to hook up with me later. And it was just, like, a whole circus of sex workers. We're all paid to be in there except the old man.
That sounds like a weird dream.
Or like the start of a joke, you know, you got a hooker, a cross-dresser, a gigolo, dominatrix.
Exactly.
Yes. It was quite a night.
You know,
that's awesome.
A question. This is Callie, by the way. What kind of security do you have that keeps you safe when you are dancing? Especially, I mean, the two stories I've heard you tell from the champagne room kind of sound like, you know, you could get into a dangerous situation. So what kind of security do you have?
Well, there's cameras watching the whole thing. Now, whether security wants to enforce things or not is a different story. You know, working in New York, the security is usually ex-NYPD. Things are a little bit on the shadier side. If something goes down, it tends to be that the girl gets in trouble. Now, I worked out in Cleveland, and they're watching the rooms out there, and I got a knock on a champagne room door one time, and it was security, and they were telling the guy he needed to keep his hands down and, you know, relax. And I'm thinking, what's going on? Because I've never had a knock on the door before, and I run a very clean champagne room. And they said, oh, it's because the guy was getting a little too aggressive. And I'm thinking, wow, that would never happen in New York. I mean, it just depends on where you're at.
Gotcha. That's interesting. So have you ever had a situation where you actually felt fear or felt threatened, or was it more just, you know, a couple of times maybe you were uncomfortable?
No, you know, I tend to remain very dominant and in control in my space. And if somebody is out of line, I strangle them and put my knee in their balls and put them back in place. And no, not really. And there was one time there was, like, this MMA fighter, this, like, boxer dude that was, like, really, like, flipping me six ways to Sunday. And, you know, I was definitely outmatched. But he was hot. It was kind of exciting. But, you know, it was just like, whoa, I know, like, I could really be in a situation if need be. You know, I don't know. It was fine.
You know, I
started
to
happen on the back of the thing. Huh?
I like your answer to that, because so often women want to be the victim. And I like the fact that you're not relying on some guy to come in and rescue you. You are more than willing, or more than able, excuse me, to rescue yourself, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, you're just cautious. You stay in tune and engaged, and you're aware of your surroundings, and you know you're out, and for sure. I mean, when that MMA fighter was with me, I was banging on the back of, you know, this booth that I was in, but the, you know, security wasn't even paying attention. But
wow.
Thank God, thankfully, the steroid monster, I was able to talk him down. Honey, calm down. Let's talk, you know. So you can talk your way. You wiggle your way into the corner and you wiggle your way back out. You become skilled at that.
Well, Michelle, I think you had some questions for Miss Chastity.
I did. Did you have any returning men that you started to recognize them?
Oh, of course. Men, women, yeah, of course.
Now, did the people come, like, weekly? The same ones, you know?
Everyone varies. So, of course, you had what you call your strip club hermits that are there every night. And we can rely on those guys to buy us drinks, you know, hang out, tell jokes. And, you know, they're part of the furniture. So then you got guys that show up, you know, once a week, once a month, a couple times a year. It's just it all depends.
Well, you're talking about different clubs, different places. Callie and I went to a strip club in Ohio, and there weren't even strippers inside.
Where the hell were they?
I don't know.
No one showed up to work?
We want to know.
I don't know. There were like three people in there, including us, so it was very, very dead. But
probably
hey, so
the ones that were working were busy in the champagne, let's hope.
Well, a little bird just told me that you are writing a book.
I am writing a book. I'm working on a memoir right now. And actually, my real name is Christina Fallon. The working title of the book is A Place Like This. And it's, you know, based off that cliche saying, what's a girl like you doing in a place like this? Or I don't come
gotcha.
To these places. You know, so it's A Place Like This is the working title. Could change at any time, but I hope to finish with the first draft around July. So, but it's definitely in the works.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, congrats. Yeah. I was also curious, too, how often do the men pay you to lap dance their women?
All the time. All
really?
The time. And I think also that's like a sign of a classy club, I think, is when women feel comfortable enough to go into the club and feel welcome. And I think, too, it's becoming more mainstream. And in some cities, it's like that's what everybody does. Instead of the nightclub, it's the strip club scene, so everyone goes. You know, so, but, yeah, all the time, you know, women pay for women, men pay for women. It's very common.
Okay. So I don't know if any of the other girls want to know, but I want to know, like, how's the hookups? Is there hookups behind the scenes?
Not for myself.
You can play the fifth if you have to, if you want to.
Not you. We're not talking about you.
No, just in general. I just know because some of the people I've talked to, you know, they have hooked up, you know,
mm-hmm.
with quite a bit. So did you see it
happening?
Yeah,
I mean, that, of course, that's something that absolutely goes on. But I think everyone has their own boundaries and is comfortable, you know, with their own thing. For me, that's not been something I've been interested in. I like lap dancing. So I always would tell them no hand jobs, no blow jobs, no sex. If you still want a room with me, God bless. Let's go.
Now, is it allowed or is it, like, kind of shunned upon? Like, you know, try to stay away from this and just do the dance.
Well, I would think it depends on the club.
That's what I mean. I reckon all the clubs are different, though, right?
I wouldn't say that it's technically allowed, and a lot of girls would probably get fired if they were out and out doing something. Now, of course, there's always going to be someone to pay off in an underground world. So,
right. Ooh, that's another story.
Well, yeah, if the club's not getting any money from it, they're not going to want you to do it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, Christina, I'm not going to ask your age. That wouldn't be nice.
I'm 34.
Have you seen?
That's fine.
Oh, okay. Okay. Have you seen We Are the Millers?
No, I have not.
Jennifer Aniston, and I'm sure you can Google just that part on YouTube. Jennifer Aniston is, of course, over 40, like me. She has a rockin' ass body, and she plays a stripper in the movie. So she gives hope mm-hmm. to all of us. Women over 40.
God, so many women give hope to all of us. Demi Moore, Madonna, I mean, the list goes on, of course.
So I would definitely recommend looking at that. It's funny. So different, I just learned that there are different poles. You want to talk about that? I did not know that.
There's stationary poles, there's spinning poles, there's poles with different textures. Now they have, like, all these accessories that you can dust stuff on your hand that helps you stick to the pole. Yeah, it's crazy.
I hadn't had no spinning poles. Oh.
Now, we were talking before the show started. We were wondering, do you have to know how to do the pole to be in most of the businesses? Locations, whatever.
I feel like things have changed a lot. And maybe it's different from city to city, but when I first started out, I had auditioned at a club in San Francisco that was really hard to get hired at. And there was like 8 girls auditioning in one night, and you basically had to drop down in the splits and wow the crowd. You couldn't really necessarily be a so-called amateur in order to get that gig. You know, 1 or 2 girls would make it out of the lineup. Now, in places like Vegas and New York, they look you up and down in the dressing room in a G-string. You spin around for the boss. You make sure you don't have any, you know, ungodly scars or too much cellulite or whatever. You're the look they're going for. You're hired. My boss in New York told me, I don't give a shit if you know how to dance. As long as you're willing to be topless and you know how to talk to people, you're fine.
Wow. Vegas, awesome. I love Vegas.
Gotta love Vegas.
Have you danced in Vegas?
Yes,
you know,
I have.
You love it.
Yes. Oh, okay. Okay. Is the crowd different there? Gotta think it is.
Oh, my God. It's like 24 hours, party central. It's over the top. It's like I go nuts there. It's too much. It's not the lifestyle for me.
I always,
funny too. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's funny too because I would have thought with New York City and Vegas and the demand for strippers being higher there, the higher population, more people moving there, that there'd be higher standards for hiring in those locations. But
well,
like, I guess,
you know
like
what?
You
there's
said,
in Vegas, you have 200 girls on the floor at one time, and they are some of the largest strip clubs in the world. You're working in a stadium with 200 to 300 girls. They don't give a shit as long as you're paying the house fee. they're trying to make that money. If you're not going to make money there, then they don't, you know, they got 199 more that will. So, you know, they're not that picky on that large of a scale.
What the hell?
That being said, Spearmint Rhino, you know, you're not going to walk in off the street and score a night shift. It doesn't happen. They are loyal to their regular girls, and those clubs have different standards, so it depends on where you go.
Now, Chastity, do you have any kids right now?
Not yet. That's okay. I'm almost ready to work on that. That's the next phase of my life, but I want to get this book finished first.
Oh, good. So, if you would to have a daughter, and would you talk her out of getting into this kind of business, or would you be all for it?
It depends on the type of personality and person that my daughter is. You know, like I have a little sister that's 19. She just turned 20. Now, I don't feel like she has, like, the right personality for it. I mean, it's a tough business, and you have to deal with a lot of rejection, and you have to really be strong within yourself and have a backbone. And she's a strong person, but I just don't feel like it would do her justice. Now, if it was someone like me that was just, you know, out the gate running and, you know, understood, like, the psychology of sexuality behind it and was going in for the right reasons and it wasn't about money and it's so much more than that, it's different. If you're willing, you know, if you can handle certain situations, then, you know, and you're going to be safe about it and aware of what you're doing, then fine.
Gotcha. Michelle, you looking to get into it? Not just yet.
you're gonna do roller derby first, right?
Yeah, I'm trying out for roller derby tomorrow. So
that's funny. Well, Chastity, tell everybody again about your book and when it'll be out, and if you want people to be able to find you, how they can get in touch with you.
They can Facebook me on Chastity Starr. It's Chastity Starr. I'm hoping to finish the first draft of the book by July, and I'm thinking that it's going to be called A Place Like This, but definitely Facebook me.
Great. I think we'll keep you posted on that. Yeah, we'd love to have you back on when you get that released. This has been great. Thank you so much. And, Marshall, thank you for connecting us. And, again, come back anytime. And you have a great week, okay?
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye, dear.
Thanks, Chastity.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We've got about 2 minutes left. I just wanted to, again, thank Marshall and thank Chastity so much for coming on. So next week, guys, we have our buddy, our pal Michael Beckman has given us Words of Art, and basically what this is, it's Words of Art movie, and what the movie is about the greats in inspirational speaking, like Joel Osteen and Zig Ziglar. So if you like those types of speakers, then definitely don't miss this show, because it's going to be a good interview. And then on the 30th, we are going to be on somebody else's podcast, and I didn't tell you guys about this.
No.
We've been invited to be on with Just Guy Talk. You can find them on Twitter and then go to their website. They have a podcast on Blog Talk as well. And our topic of discussion is sex moves he doesn't want.
Who is this again?
Just Guy Talk. Look them up on Twitter.
I swear to God, I sent them an email.
That's so funny. And then I believe on what's the next day, Michelle, you just booked somebody for the next Monday. You want to quickly, we have about 50 seconds left, so quickly talk.
Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Let me get back to the inbox here. It's actually a freak
show or something?
The Freak Circus Sideshow. Yes. I met us ladies, we met them in Bethlehem at Parafest. This lady is crazy.
All right, so that's going to be February 3rd on Monday. So we got about 10 seconds left. Everybody, thank you for coming on, and listeners, thank you for listening to us. Make sure to like us on Facebook and Twitter at Cougar Chat Radio. God bless you, and we'll talk to you later.
Much love.
All right, bye, guys.
Night. Good night.
Good night.
She's intersexual prime and got a